folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival, and I am sitting in today from Ellie Seastrom, who's taking some time off to get some other things done, and I don't blame her for that. Bless her heart. She's worked hard for a lot of years servicing the folks with precious metals, trying to help them provide for the future, and so she took the day off, got caught up on some things, so I'm here to do my best to fill in for her. I can't fill in for her. No, I can't, but I'll do the best I can. So welcome. It's this 20 May, 2022. I cannot believe we're way over halfway through the month of May already. My goodness, folks, we'll soon be through a half a year in just a blink of an eye. But let's get started today with precious metals, like always. Gold had a slightly up day, 93 cents, 1843.11. Silver was down 22 cents, 2168. Platinum was down $5, 954. Palladium was down $39 to 1965. Well, the metals have been getting whacked. And, you know, again, it's totally backward. The markets are down and the precious metals down. Then you speed that way, but that is what it is. The Dow was down 221 to 3131. The Nasdaq was down 155 to 11233. S&P was down 33 to 3867. As you can see, folks, the Dow has come down several thousand points in the last couple of months from what it was. Japan, Hong Kong, London, Germany all had positive day today. The Nikkei was up 340 to 26739. Hang Seng was up 633 to 2735. London was up 88 to 7389. Germany was up 100 to 13981. Pretty good. Of course, oil continues its march upward, up 0.45 to 110.38. Just talking to Todd, our producer there right before the program came on the air, the average price of a gallon of gasoline, I looked up just to make sure, in 1971 when I got married was 31 cents, and our rate ran about 20, 25 cents a gallon. Oh, yeah, $5 is about fill your, it would fill your car up. Something has really changed since then, folks. And then, of course, in the 70s, the later 70s, all of a sudden we come up with that oil embargo. And, I mean, well, we ran out of oil and prices started going, you know, we thought it was high, $80, $90. And that was so that we promised the Middle East that we would buy their oil, that they could raise the prices. We bought the dollar so they keep our dollar jacked up and moving along. But anyway, it's all been done on purpose, and this has been done on purpose. The 10-year yield was down 0.07 to 2.79%. USDX was up 0.35 to 103.08. So, yeah, this, you know, it's just another mixed bag of what's happening around the country and around the world. And I don't know how all these things work and how they keep everything so steady, especially in the European markets with what's going on over there with the cost of living and the so-called war with Ukraine. It's just amazing to me that they've managed to keep the thing as steady as you do. But, folks, we know they're fixing it. We know they can. So they do. Move on to a different topic now. We've got a lot to talk about today, and I'm going to take my time and try to cover some of these. I want you to consider the double standard that comes along with what we'll call the left and the right, the liberals and conservatives. And I hate to use that word. I really do. I wish there's a better way to describe it. I would say the righteous and non-righteous, maybe. But anyway, if some of the anti-murder people, the pro-life people, would have said what's been said now by the pro-murder people, they would have been arrested for domestic terrorism. Pro-murder extremists threatened to burn down, storm Supreme Court, murder justices, government memo reveals. Pro-abortion extremists are reportedly threatening to burn down the Supreme Court building and murder justices and the clerks, prompting law enforcement to ready itself for political violence should Roe v. Wade be overturned. A May 13th Department of Homeland Security memo obtained by Axios revealed that the government officials are investigating threats to the justice, the clerks, to place the worship, and the abortion clinic, the murder clinics. The memo references threats that came after someone, possibly a clerk, leaked a draft opinion indicating Roe v. Wade will likely be overturned. These threats are likely to persist and may increase, leading up to the following issue of the court's official ruling. So, well, as I said on my program tonight, and maybe you mentioned on Melody's broadcast here, this ain't over. This is going to get really, really nasty. It's going to get really nasty. And it's going to lead to all kinds of problems. And I will tell you right now that the pro-murder side has no qualms with destroying buildings, maybe destroying your home, maybe even killing you if they want to. Oh, they just said it. I didn't say it. They said it. They have no problem with it. They don't mind taking up arms, so to speak, and doing what they have to do. Maybe if the Christians would have done that back in 73, we wouldn't have this mess right now. But here's some good news. Oklahoma legislature passes bill banning abortions after fertilization. Hallelujah. Write down the word ought to be. Oklahoma legislature on Thursday passed a bill that would ban abortions from the moment of fertilization. And that's where it should be, folks. I know most of the people listening to this program already know this, that when that egg and sperm come together, that individual's height, weight, hair color, and their longevity in this world is already predetermined in that egg and that egg and sperm when they come together. So it's already an individual. Anyway, it will ban abortions from the moment of fertilization and allow private citizens to sue murder providers who knowingly perform or induce a murder or a pregnant woman, or induce a murder or abortion on a pregnant woman. The legislation is among the nation's strictest bills on abortion. HB 4327 prohibits, the word murder, folks, I don't care. Prohibits murders at any point of pregnancy, with exceptions for medical emergencies or if the pregnancy was a result of rape, sexual assault, or incest and reported to law enforcement. And that has to be reported, folks, before they try to kill the baby. The Oklahoma House of Representatives approved the measure by a vote of 73-16, and it is now headed to the desk of Republican Governor Kevin Stitt, who has previously pledged to sign every piece of legislation limiting murder that reaches his desk. Webic News has reached out to the governor's office for comment. That is some good news. I mean, it truly is good news. And again, I still have a problem with the ideas, and some people say, "Well, you're really a far right idiot." You know, murder must have incest or rape, folks. That's still an individual, no matter what you call it. It's still an individual. It's a human being that's in there. It can help how it was conceived. But I know that's going to make a lot of people upset when I say that. I don't mean to, but I refuse to go against the ethics and convictions that I try to live by as a Christian, as a pastor, and as someone who believes the Scriptures to be what they say they are, the Word of God. And I know that's extreme for some people, and so be it. So be it. I can't help it. I think what they're doing is really extreme also. If you go to our website, PastorButch.com, look under abortion/murder news, and watch what they're doing in the streets, parading around, holding signs, said abortions are equal snacks. Oh, yeah. One day parading around, don't put your laws in my private areas. Folks, these are what the other side is doing. I guess you call it shock. That's why I don't mind showing the picture of a murdered, slaughtered child. It shocks them, and I wanted to. It may save a baby's life. Let's move on. Now, this is coming up this week. It's going on right now. And, folks, this could change a lot of things, but this is done in such incremental steps that most people don't catch it. I remember I was on the radio I started in 93. I discussed a meeting coming up in Egypt, and we're going to discuss WHO, World Health Organization. They hadn't been formed yet. They were going to discuss it and about it coming about. And I shared that on the radio. No one seemed to really catch the idea of it and what it could mean. And they probably won't understand this either, but dozens of governments commit to signing WHO pandemic treaty. Most people have no idea what that's going to mean. No idea. But if we live long enough, we're going to find out. Multiple governments have committed to signing the WHO global pandemic treaty, which will cede health sovereignty to the World Health Organization. In other words, you'll have no say-so over your body.
Oh, but the women say, it's my body, it's my right to kill that baby.
Well, according to this, you have no sovereignty over your body. So will that change anything? I don't know. Who is supporting the WHO pandemic treaty? Well, I'm going to read some nations to you folks that are going to support this treaty. At the second global COVID summit, Prime Minister Narendra Modi said it's clear that a coordinated global response is required to combat future health emergencies. We must build a resilient global supply chain and enable equitable access to vaccines and medicines. We also call for streamlining WHO's approval process for vaccines and therapeutics to keep supply chain stable and predictable. As a responsible member of the global community, India is ready to play a key role in these efforts. On March 30th, the World Health Organization published a following list of 25 world leaders who have committed to working together towards a new international treaty for pandemic preparedness and response. Now, these, I'm just going to read the nations, not the leaders' names, who back in March 30th committed to this. We have the United Kingdom. We have Ukraine, no surprise. Norway, Portugal, Italy, Romania, France, Germany. We have Charles Michel, President of the European Council, said he was on for it. Greece, Spain, Netherlands, Chile, Serbia, Croatia, Korea, Fiji, Thailand, Rwanda, Kenya, Costa Rica, Albania, South Africa, Trinidad and Tobago, Tunisia, Senegal, Indonesia, and of course, a gentleman named Gray Bayes, Director General of the World Health Organization, all have, and by the way, you can add Canada, U.S., Australia, and New Zealand to the list since then. Now, you may not understand this, and I didn't for a long time, but when this, if this treaty is adopted, it's going to become, it supersedes the Constitution, all the law of this land. It becomes international law. So it pretty much rules the world as we know it right now. I just read to you the countries that they're already signed on. With Canada, U.S., Australia, New Zealand added to the list since then. Does that make any difference? Without making more control of our lives? Who's going to, again, back all this and pay for all this enforcement? How's it going to be enforced? At gunpoint? Jail time? Fines? You tell me. I don't know. This is where we are. And we're seeing this, all this, I say, beast system, police state tactics, coming in not just in America, but all over the world. You probably heard this already, but I'll report to you anyway. Biden seizes control over domestic food materials using Korean War era emergency powers. Now, this actually has already happened. Today's Situation Up podcast is one of the most important of this year. It explains how the domestic food supply is being militarized and controlled by a corrupt criminal regime in Washington, D.C., and now threatens food security for all Americans. To address the infant formula shortage that's causing widespread frustration and even panic across America, the illegitimate Biden regime has invoked the Korean War era emergency powers found in the Defense Production Act, which is administered by FEMA. That act, originally intended to allow emergency executive action to shore up critical infrastructure during times of war, is now being used by the Biden regime to seize control over food supply, raw materials, and force companies to deliver them to Abbott laboratories to manufacture large quantities of heavily processed junk food, infant formula, made with corn syrup, solids, and processed milk proteins. Let me make this comment, too. Canada has no shortage of children's food. None. They had no shortage. If you go to the southern border, you'll find a warehouses full of it that we shipped down there for the illegals. America has been set up to be taken down in every way possible. Canada is blessed with the shelves are full. I talked to a gentleman out of Canada about every week named Jeff. He says our shelves are full. Our prices are not going up that much. This is in Canada. They're singling out America, folks, the United States, to bring us to our knees. But back to the article. Because this effort to supply redirects existing food materials, this does not actually solve any food shortage in America. It merely shifts the shortages from one product category to another. It also stands as a centrally planned food distribution plan that resembles communism, not the free market dynamics. Furthermore, It means that as other food shortages emerge in the months ahead, the Biden regime will almost certainly invoke the DPA to seize control of other food materials, making sure favorite corporations get supply while dissident companies and small businesses are driven into bankruptcy due to lack of supply. Welcome to Joe Biden's America, where nothing is safe from the catastrophically bad ideas of the Biden regime and its desire to destroy everything in sight, including food in abundance and affordable fuel. Now, folks, this didn't happen overnight. Biden may be the instigator now, but these executive orders to do all this have been put in place for many years. Many years. So this isn't something they just started up last night and planned, and all of a sudden here it is. Not even close. It's been going on for a lot of years. It's taken time for them to get there where they want it. They built it slowly, but surely, and they had to manufacture emergencies to bring it into place so that people would accept it. Well, folks, as a whole, American people are very acceptable about everything that they do to us. No matter how obnoxious it may be, no matter how strong the police tactics are, Americans have been gullible enough to follow the rules without exception. And when they started slaughtering children in the womb back in 73, and the Americans stood by and did nothing, basically. Now, obviously we didn't, folks. 75 to 100 million babies later, we still haven't done a whole lot. They knew that they had pretty much got us where they wanted us. And then, of course, in 2020, when they brought this COVID plandemic out and scared people into their homes and out of their businesses and out of their jobs, told churches they can't gather, even the churches bowed down to man and Satan's ways, even they did. That was a final test, I do believe, by them and God Almighty to see where the church would go and who they would obey. And I must say the church in America failed miserably. Miserably. Very few of the fellowships that decided to stand up and say, no, you're not our boss, Governor. We're going to church. We did. I even wrote the governor a letter and told him that. Never heard a word back. Because tyrants don't want confrontation if they can help it. The masses gave way. One little fellowship's not going to make any difference, they think. But folks, let me tell you right now. We've been complacent, cowardly for far too long. Now they're coming after our last little bit of independence, our health sovereignty. I think it's about break time. I don't hear music playing. I think it's close to break. So anyway, we'll keep talking to hear music. I don't hear anything, so we'll go from there. But we're coming to a place now where choices must be made. If you choose not to live your life independently, and you keep following the dots, you're going to find yourself in a place we can't get out of, my friends. I urge you, with everything in me, to stand up now and speak up and do something while you can. Back at the break, don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we're back in. This is Pastor Butch Parlin, filling day from Melody Cederstrom, who's taking time off to get some other things done. And her number to call, and I wish you would for your sake, 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. You can believe that if this old hillbilly preacher had to spare money right now, he'd be putting it in gold and silver and Strawberry Foods. All would. I do put it in Strawberry Foods, folks. I do. It'd take a while to starve my wife and I out. We'd have enough food here to do us quite a while. But it may not be the best tasting in the world, but we can survive on it. We're about ready to discuss gasoline again, and I know us getting tiresome here, but folks, I put gas in the car today. I put in $30 and got 6.7 gallons. $30. $30, 6.7 gallons. It's 445 a gallon, 445.9, which is 446 actually. Went up 10 cents yesterday. And we're not anywhere near the top yet. I don't know. Maybe by the grace of God, I'd like to think there'd be a breath of fresh air coming through and prices would drop. But folks, let's say it drops a dollar. It's still outstandingly high. But it's not going to drop. If it does, it won't be very long because you saw the price of oil day went up again today. At $110 a barrel, they're getting $4.45 a gallon here. Its average, I think, nationwide is more like $4.58. But nonetheless, nationwide gas prices could hit staggering new high by August, top U.S. bank analyst says, and I have no doubt this is true. Analysts at the top U.S. bank are warning that nationwide gas prices could skyrocket from their current $4.58.9 average per gallon to more than $6 a gallon by the end of summer. Natasha Kaneva, head of a global oil and commodities research at J.P. Morgan, wrote in research documents that the U.S. was in for a cruel summer as gas prices were expected to continue smashing records. With expectations of strong driving demand, traditionally the U.S. summer driving season starts on Memorial Day, which lands this year on May 30th and lasts until Labor Day in early September. U.S. retail price could surge another 37% by August to $6.20 a gallon national average, he wrote. National average, folks, that means it'll be $7 in California and maybe $6.10 somewhere else. But $6.20, and so far, I maybe haven't noticed it, but I haven't seen too much let up in traffic yet. I haven't. But it's going to really start hurting. I know I get aggravated when I put the money in the truck, and 6.7 gallon for $30, and my car automobile had an engine problem, and it's in the shop, and I had to order a new motor for it, and it's not an old car. It happened. Only had 87,000 miles on it, but it blew up. So it's parked and had to get a new motor, which is around $4,000. And we're trying to keep the thing going with that truck. The truck, it runs great. 15, 18 miles a gallon, though. But that's only one I have right now to travel in. So you know what you got to do. But they want this to hurt. People are going to start begging for electric cars real soon. Anything they think would ease the pain. And believe me, folks, electric cars will not ease the financial pain at all. They're going to get us down to where they want us in sustainable communities. It may take a little while to get us there. We're going to travel a bicycle or public service or maybe by foot. But it's working. It's going to work. They're not done. They have no intention of quitting. It's going to keep going until who knows how far we go before people say enough is enough. And I don't see people saying enough's enough. I don't see it happening. I wish I did, but I don't. I know there'll be problems. There'll be going to be so many situations. But, folks, we're at the point now that this division in this country is only going to make us grow weaker. It's not going to make us any stronger. Now, it's too late. The people will not unify in masses enough and agree on the issues of what's happening. They have too many fractions between them already. And the murder bill is one of them. A surge of heat to bring hottest weather since last summer to Northeast. It's already started here. Right now, I'm sitting here in the office. I can look at the side window, and I'm looking at the gauge that says about 87 degrees right now. And this is May. High temperatures ranging from the upper 80s to the mid-90s are on the way for close to 100 million people in the Northeast. They say Northeast, folks, this could clear back, tear down the Carolinas and blow that. This week, a stifling heat typical of the middle of summer will be felt from Ohio to North Carolina and Maine. In many areas, the heat and humidity this Saturday and Sunday will bring the hottest conditions since last August, and in some locations, record highs that have stood for more than 100 years could be broken, AccuWeather meteorologists say. And I have no doubt that's true. You may think, again, I'm a conspiracy nut, think what you want. They mess with the weather, and he said, how do you know that, preacher? I'm going to tell you how I know it. I was stationed. I was in Vietnam. The Far East in Thailand, Nam. I was in Laos, which was back then top secret stuff. And they did weather control over the Ho Chi Minh Trail. They made it rain, trying to stop the supplies from the north into Vietnam, trying to stifle the enemy's supply chain. They won't let us bomb it. That wasn't part of the plan. They want us to be there to make the people richer, the rich men richer, and the elite richer. But at the death of some 60,000, U.S. service people. But anyway, yes, they were doing that back then. I think it was called Project Mockingbird, I believe. I'm not going to quote that for sure. That's been a long time ago, folks. It's been 50 years since I was there when they did that. Being a member of the Air Force, I was privy to some of these things happening. And I saw some things that I know that were really happening that today no one even wants to hear about. It's just so, yes. Weather manipulation has been going on at least since the 50s. And it's really getting a lot of momentum since then. So, no, I'm not making it up. It is what it is. Consumer carnage. Another consumer stock minus 25% low-end consumer wallet getting pinched by inflation. Stock minus 25 after hours in the biggest move in over a decade on a surprising misguidance cut, providing another data point the low-end consumer may be pulling back as wallets get pinched from elevated inflation plus higher gas prices. This should exacerbate concerns on retailers levered to the low-end consumer given less pricing power to offset the cost of inflation. Probably the most important question right now, how can the consumer hold up while credit card debt's rising, car loans are rising, home mortgages costs going up, utility bills rising, food bills rising, inflation-adjusted wages declining? The net is that household savings are declining and the inventories across goods and real estate are starting to go up. The median home price to median income was about 5 times in 2008-2009, and now it's around 7 times. Unemployment and housing are key shoes to drop. Walmart has lost a quarter of its stock market value in less than a month. Let me repeat that. Walmart has lost a quarter of its stock market value in less than a month, and most of it has come in 3 days. Walmart stock is down 19.7% over the last 3 days. The only time in its history with a larger 3-day decline was during October 1987 crash. Walmart's down almost 20%, folks, in 3 days in the stock market. And if you ain't feeling the crunch, God bless you. Good for you. I am. I know many people are too. And it's not going to change. It's not going to change. It ain't going to change. They're wanting to go into the Great Reset, and that's where they're driving us into, and they're going to get it done. They want control of all finances worldwide. They want digital currencies. They want everything they can to control us. They want everything in under control. If you don't follow the rules, if you don't keep your social credit score up, if you don't get your vaccines, you won't get your paycheck or your social security check or anything else. It's coming to that. It's already started. And I tell you right now, folks, we got ourselves in this mess through ignorance, apathy, and laziness. We let it happen. We did. Supply chains are never returning to normal. The conventional wisdom at this time is that most of the world has moved on from the pandemic, except for China. Therefore, supply chains will return to normal. Unfortunately, this is not the case. The world has permanently changed supply chain, and supply chains are going to face continuing challenges for decades to come. And that's fact. You just want to hang on to that, folks. Nothing's going back to normal. Our normal is new normal. Nothing's going to be stable any longer in our lives. Nothing's going to be stable except Jesus Christ in our hearts. Other than that, nothing. Among those challenges are these. Supply chains will remain under constant threat of disruption for the next decade. Supply chains operate best when the world is peaceful and stable. Well, how, boy, you sure lost that one. A smoothly running supply chain requires buffer stock, which is challenging with declining population demographics. There is a complete conflict between environmental, social, and governance, ESG, goals, and supply chains optimized for cost and speed. If we prioritize ESG, we'll need to contend with supply chain risk. Supply chain technology will become the big venture capital category winner as companies continue to make investments in technologies that can help them mitigate their supply chain challenges. Everything will be totally under control of man-made machines, AI, and tyrants. It is what it is. We are there. We can scoff. We can laugh. We can ignore it. We can do what you want to, folks. But I don't think any of us, any common individual, any common man, I say common, I mean middle class, lower middle class individual, can say that finances are not getting tighter. Things are not being disrupted. But I will tell you again, that's mostly in the Western Hemisphere, in North America, in America. Canada is not suffering with supply chain mess-ups in stores like we are down here. This is what I'm getting from China. People who live in Canada, as I said, they have plenty of baby formula. They do. Puerto Rico has shelves full of baby formula. America doesn't. I wonder why. Could that be something that was planned to be done to scare us back into the cage? To make us desperate to follow the rules of whoever's in charge, that we may get our food supply. I mean, who wants to see the baby go hungry? I know I don't. Think about these things. If it's not a coincidence, then it's on purpose. Think about it. Build blackouts better. Half of America's faces power blackouts this summer, regulator warns. And see, again, this is new to the U.S., tens of millions of Americans could be thrown into a summer of hell as mega drought, heat waves, and reduced power generation could trigger widespread rolling electricity blackouts from the Great Lakes to the West Coast, according to Bloomberg, citing a new report from the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, NERC, a regulatory body that manages grid stability. NERC warned power supplies in the western U.S. could be strained this summer as a historic drought reduces hydroelectric power generation due to falling reservoir levels and what's expected to be an unseasonably hot summer. Compound the hellacious weather backdrop with grids decommissioning fossil fuel power plants to fight climate change and their inability to bring on new green power generation such as solar, wind, and batteries in time. It is a perfect storm waiting to happen that will produce electricity deficits that may force power companies into rolling blackouts for stability purposes. I say yes. I do. I don't like to think about that. Who does? One thing we've all learned to depend on is electricity as a whole. I know some people who are off-grid. I know there are a few out there. But there's not many. Personally, I've checked into it, and I couldn't afford to go off-grid. And I couldn't do what I do now in my home and run this ministry off-grid. I'd have to cut back on all the things I use for electricity right now, a lot of things. Like right now, the radio equipment and all that would have to cut off, and that does require electricity. So I've looked into it. I couldn't afford to switch over to something that would even come close to power what I need. So I don't want to tell you. If you already managed to do this, you've done a little bit of the time, you build up your requirements, and you learn how to do without a lot of things that a lot of us are used to having, more power to you, and God bless you. I appreciate your efforts. I really do. But I can't see that happening to the masses of the people. When electricity goes off, folks, and if it goes off maybe 6, 8 hours, 10 hours a day, it's going to hurt. going to hurt a lot. And a lot of us are not used to that, especially when it gets really hot. You know, up until just a couple of years ago, I never had whole house air conditioning. No, I never had it. We had a room air conditioner in the bedroom. We had turned on sometimes at night, but we just didn't have it. Didn't grow up with it. Never really thought about it. But the temperatures are breaking records now, or whatever you want to call that. It's weather control. That's what's happening. And I'm starting to see that this could be a situation in the future. Basically, if you have older folks in the home who are sick, how about people that need electricity to have oxygen in their bodies? And who knows what all else could be happening? Think about these things. Don't know how to prepare for it. Do what you can. Prepare as best you can. That's the best advice I can offer you, because I know that I, for one, cannot afford to go totally solar. Can't do it. And change topics now. Stop the denial. Ukraine is a proxy war that will lead to wider world war, and now we know that's coming. At the onset of the Russian incursion to Ukraine, I argued in my article, Order Out of Chaos, how the Ukraine conflict is designed to benefit globalists, that U.S. boots would be on the ground within a few months. I was wrong. As it turned out, U.S. and European military boots were already on the ground. Ukraine was a proxy war from the very beginning. But what's a proxy war? It means that Russian troops are fighting Ukrainian soldiers that are intermingled with Western advisors. Notice that word, advisors, and most likely U.S. European special forces, not to mention U.S. intelligence operatives, utilizing all the information gathering technology disposal of the Department of Defense. In other words, Russian soldiers are being killed by Western assets. Some pro-Ukraine people might ask why this is a problem. To understand the gravity of the situation, we must first examine the historical significance. Now, maybe some of y'all remember this. I do. Before I went into Nam, you remember the advisors they put on the ground in Vietnam? Remember? We're just going to send advisors. We're going to get involved, right? Well, 60,000 dead men later, we got involved. We got involved. I mean, that's after we got involved. The closest event in history that I can approximate Ukraine to is Vietnam, when communist elements within the country are receiving constant aid, weaponry, and even some troops from China, along with monetary and technological aid from the Soviet Union. Vietnam is essentially a safe arena or cage match between the West and communism, a place where the paradigm players could fight it out without risk of a larger nuclear exchange. The globalists could sit back, relax, and watch the show while Americans sacrifice their lives over a conflict that did not need to exist. Ukraine is similar, but the stakes this time are much higher. This is probably why the mainstream media and the White House have been in full denial that Ukraine is a proxy war at all. They have consistently downplayed the complex involvement of Western military assets. The fact is that Ukraine would have fallen completely by now had it not been for the fact that Russia is not really facing Ukraine. It is facing a proxy force of U.S. and European support elements feeding intel, weaponry, and likely direct kinetic support. We know that is true. I got the break, don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we're back. Final segment for the day's broadcast. Again, Pastor Butch Paul filling in for Melody Cederstrom. Call her up and talk to her. But some ideas how you can preserve something if the bottom does fall out. And I recommend what we call junk silver. It's 9% silver. And it's in small increments where you can swap it or trade it or buy something with it without spending more than you have to. So give her a call at 800-375-4188. Senator Rand Paul, now y'all know Congress just passed a $100 billion gift to the Ukraine. 11 senators voted against it, and Paul was one of them. 11 folks out of 100. We have people here that are hurting financially. We ship $100 billion to Ukraine. We have no idea what's going into. But Ukraine is probably what top three most corrupted nations in the world. The U.S. is probably the top, and Israel is falling very close behind it. But Congress, as Ron Paul said this, that they were going to do $40 billion. Paul said Congress has to borrow from China to send $40 billion in aid to Ukraine. So they had to borrow the money, the $100 billion from China, because we don't have it, folks. The United States cannot come up with the money to send to Ukraine, so we're going to borrow from China and send to Ukraine. Ron Paul says, I think it's important to know that we don't have any money to send. We have to borrow money from China to send it to Ukraine, and I think most people kind of get that, and many Republicans will say that's when it's a new social program. But if it's military aid to a country, they're like, we can borrow that. That's a justified borrowing, Paul explained to Marlow. So, when it's a new social program, I mean, they may not like to do that, but when they send it to a foreign country, they send $100 billion of borrowed money. Borrowed on the full faith and credit of the USA. Oh, people. My goodness. Unbelievable. And ever since the war started, everybody thought, well, we're going to sanction Russia. We're going to hurt them. And probably in some areas we may have. But not nearly to the extent we thought we could with our sanctions, no matter who's backed us. The ruble hit 7-year high as gas buyers bow to Putin's payment mandate. Putin turned the tables on some of these countries, folks, including us. On Friday, the ruble surged to the highest level in 7 years against the euro, thanks in large part to the Putin-ordered mandatory conversion of foreign currency by the export-focused companies, as China and India and much of Europe are still buying Russia's energy and agriculture products, despite the loud threats coming from Washington, which have lately included a potential move to block Russian sovereign debt payments. At this point, the Russian currency is about 20% stronger than pre-invasion. Let me repeat that. The ruble is 20% stronger than pre-invasion. As the war grinds on into the fourth month, jumping as much as 9% against the euro, the ruble last hit this level in June 2015. The ruble is as strongest against the dollar since 2018, Aiding the surge, there's further been weak demand for dollars and euros, given restrictions on cross-border transactions and increasingly isolated Russian as Russia sees slowed imports. Now, let me make a comment here. Weak demand for dollars and euros. The dollar is illusionist hegemony as the world currency. And it is going to hurt us, folks. It already is. While it's unclear which companies or countries are consenting to the Putin-ordered ruble payment mechanism, it's clear the Russian leader's gambit is working, as Bloomberg reviews. Under the new mechanism, importers of Russian pipeline gas must open two accounts at Gazprom Bank to handle payments for the fuel. Around half of Gazprom's more than 50 foreign clients have already opened such accounts. Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak said earlier this week, Finland had become the latest alongside Poland and Bulgaria last month, being cut off from Russian gas supplies. Finland confirmed its taps will be cut Saturday, though much less relied on gas among the diverse resources. Novak further confirmed that a number of major clients have either already paid using the mechanism are willing to pay on the time to avoid cutoff. Folks, it's hard to sanction a country the size of Russia that produces so much of what the world needs to survive. It's hard to sanction somebody like that because they really don't need us, U.S., that much. They at one time need the dollar, because it was used as a standard of all trades in the world. But that is falling quickly to the wayside. And if you think inflation is bad now, wait till more nations quit using the dollar. China's already in that direction. Russia, of course, already is. Wait till more of them quit using the dollars as a manner of financial exchange on the markets. And watch your little pitiful dollar go to nothing. I mean, nothing. And believe me, folks, it's well on the way now. Don't think it isn't well on the way, because it is. And China quietly increases purchases of low-priced Russian oil. China's buying oil at a bargain price. Americans are paying $5 a gallon for gasoline. China's quietly ramping up purchases of oil from Russia at bargain prices, according to the shipping data and oil traders who spoke to Reuters, filling the vacuum left by Western buyers backing away from business with Russia after its invasion of Ukraine in February. The move by the world's biggest oil importer comes a month after it initially cut back on Russian supplies for fear of appearing to openly support Moscow and potentially expose the state oil giants to sanctions. China's seaborne Russian oil imports will jump to a near record 1.1 million barrels per day in May, up from 750,000 barrels per day in the first quarter, 800,000 barrels per day in 2021, according to the estimate by Vortex Analytics. Folks, China is supporting Russia. China isn't not too concerned about the U.S. We are nothing but a consumer nation. We made China wealthy. I remember before some of y'all were born, Nixon going to China back in the 70s as the first president to visit China, and I don't know how long, if ever, went over to start trade deals with China. Again, to bolster the dollar and to make deals for cheaper goods. That's when they really started closing down our American plants and about everything we had, from clothing making to cars to manufacturing and furniture, everything. We pretty much more or less shut it down and moved overseas, a lot of to China. We started buying from China. So believe me, China is going to be okay. Russia is not going to be starved out. There's no way. It just isn't going to happen. So we can boast and brag about how powerful we are. Get over it, folks. America is a mere shadow of what she was even 50 years ago. And she wasn't a whole lot 50 years ago. How do you know that, preacher? Because I lived here then. I saw what was turning into. I saw what happened 50 years ago when some murdering babies, and I saw what happened to the weakness of the people in the churches. I saw it happening, folks. I lived it. So, understand, we're deteriorating into oblivion. Socialist Sri Lanka imposes 10-hour water cuts on top of deadly power cuts and gas shortages. Then we say, that's Sri Lanka. That's a little island nation. It's nobody. Okay, it's nobody unless you live there. only by the grace of God you are where you are. And don't get too cocky and haughty, because it's coming our way also. The disintegrating government of Sri Lanka on Wednesday announced a 10-hour water cut for parts of the commercial capital of Colombo, beginning Saturday at 10 o'clock p.m. The water cut will be powered atop daily power outages and fuel shortages as a corrupt socialist government defaults on its debts. We are defaulting on our debts also. We got to borrow money to give to another country. How well does that speak of our financial basis, folks? President Rajapalaski continued to defy calls for the resignation of as huge protests rolled through the streets. On Tuesday, Rajapalaski's allies in the parliament managed to delay an opposition motion to condemn him. It was the first parliamentary session convened since the protests turned violent last week. Rajapalaski's family members, listen to this, oh golly, family members who formerly held almost every important post of his administration have all resigned. The last to go was his brother, Mahinda, who stood down as prime minister last week. The new prime minister, Ranil, I'm not going to try that last name, gave a televised address on Monday in which he warned Sri Lankans to face the unpleasant and terrifying facts of shortages and financial collapse. At the moment, we only have petrol stocks for a single day. The next couple of months will be the most difficult ones of our lives, he said. For a short period, our future will be even more difficult than the tough times that we have passed. Wow. Hey, if you don't feel sorry for them, folks, then if you don't understand what's happening there with the socialist system, if you don't understand that we're not socialist, we're not even close to free enterprise any longer. No, folks. No. We're no longer a free enterprise system, a capitalist system. We are socialist to the core and getting more so every day. What we're seeing happen in little countries like Sri Lanka is coming home to roost with us in the very near future. And I guess, you know, Finland has decided to join NATO, and Sweden is too. What that's going to mean in the war, I don't know. But I thought this is kind of a slap in the face of Russia. Finnish brewery launches NATO beer to mark membership application in NATO. A small Finnish brewery a few dozen miles from the Russian border has launched a new beer to toast its company's application to join the NATO military alliance. The lager... I'm not a beer drinker, folks. I just don't do it. The lager is called Otan Oluta, the first word, a play on the French variation of the initials for North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The full name also means I'll have some beer in Finnish. The brew had a taste of security with a hint of freedom. Repeat that. The brew had a taste of security with a hint of freedom. Petteri Benenin, the chief executive of family-run Olof Brewery, told Reuters. Yeah, folks, this is an escalating war. I don't like to think about it, but it is what it is. Now, I'm going to close with the good news. And I like these good news stories. I really do. We got about 3 minutes left or so here. Teacher carries student with spina bifida so she doesn't miss field trip. I just thank God people like this. When a fourth grader who is in a wheelchair was having difficulties on a field trip, a teacher at school showed her amazing kindness and compassion. Jim Freeman's act of kindness to 10-year-old Ryan Neighbors has touched her and her family. When I got to see the fossils and stuff, I was like, wow, that's like really cool. I haven't gotten to see that before, Neighbors said. Shelley King, her mother, said that her daughter had been in a wheelchair all her life because of spinal bifida. Although she is bright in her studies, the field trips are a challenge for her. Freeman teaches in a class next to Neighbor's class, used a special backpack to move her through the rugged outdoor terrain at the park. As soon as we got her strapped in, she's like, this is the part I've been waiting for, Freeman said. It melted my heart, King said. He's not even Ryan's teacher. And he was so pure-hearted, he wanted to make sure that she was included and not left out, and she got to feel like one of her peers. King shared a post on Facebook about Freeman's act of kindness and got thousands of comments and reactions and shares of support. Never feel like you're left alone, Neighbor said. Freeman said he wasn't expecting any recognition or fame, through what he had done for neighbors and said he did not feel that he was did anything out of the ordinary. This is just one physical act that you can see, but we do this countless times throughout our school day and thought throughout the year, Freeman said. All the teachers here at Tully and JCPS, they work together harder than most people realize. Freeman's act of kindness supports a special needs student. Example of kindness and compassion is certainly restored our faith in humanity. Gee, folks, a simple act like that, it's, I guess, going to be so uncommon that draws attention. It shouldn't be that way, but that doesn't mean it is. We are seeing, maybe by the grace of God, we're seeing some good things happen, folks. Stay to what's right. Live your life like you should. Live your life to the fullest as you can every day, no matter how hard things are. Remember that you were put here by a sovereign creator for this day and time in history. You're put here to do something today to glorify Him and help somebody else. No matter how tough things are, folks, our life is to be used to glorify Him and bless others. Now, I know that sometimes it isn't easy, but that's what we can do it. And the more we keep our minds on other people and our hearts full of joy and praise for the goodness we've had, the better our life is for ourselves also. Bitterness and hatred can build up in a person's life that destroys themselves and those around them. Let's not let that happen to us, folks. Let's glorify a holy God for His mercies and grace every time we sit down to a meal, every time we put clothes on our back, every time we take another breath. Let's remember who gave us this. It's a precious gift called life. It's like a vapor. It doesn't last long. So don't waste it. This is not a practice run. You don't get to do it again. When it's gone, it's gone. So let people around you know you love them, in case you don't see them again on this earth. Let them know you love them, you care for them, you're going to be there for them. And do what you can to bless them in some way. Folks, by the grace of God, I'll see you Monday with Melody. You have a great weekend, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.